Hello everybody and welcome to Elena's webinar. I think everybody knows the normal protocol, so I don't need to show you this, but I just wanted to anyway. Okay, so welcome. Elena, would you like me to change it over to you now so you can put up the meditation, or do you want to just do the meditation with the picture?
I put the meditation on the screen just
okay
for the people.
Okay, you should have the, you're the presenter now, show your screen. There you go.
Okay, is it okay?
Yes.
Okay, well, we have an exclusive audience. I can see not many, but I am very happy to see some people here. So as usual, we will start with the meditation. It's sort of a short alignment of the group energies. So please make yourself comfortable, release all the outside noise, interference. Focus the attention in the head and imagine the light of the soul pouring through the mental body. Integrating the personality. We will sound the ohms as we imagine the white golden light illuminating the mental body, purifying the astral body. Strengthening the etheric body. Visualize the threefold personality as being unified with the white light. Personality soul fusion. See the lower triangle representing the personality with the mental body at the apex and the physical and astral bodies at the base of the triangle. And see the apex of the triangle is pointing upwards. Above the lower triangle, see the brightly lit higher triangle representing the soul with its apex pointing downwards by an act of the will, see these two triangles merging together and forming six-pointed star. See the six-pointed stars, a shining sun, representing the soul-infused personality. And sound the silent Om to confirm this fusion. Group alignment. Visualize a sphere of pure white light and the group members as miniature shining suns inside and around the sphere. See a sphere of light linking the heart centers of all the group members. A sphere of light linking the head centers. And a sphere of light linking the Ajna centers of all the group members. Imagine the light rapidly circulating through these three spheres and aligning the three group centers. Ajna, heart, and head. Into one mind, one soul, and one will. To confirm the group alignment, we sound the Om as a group. Thank you, and I'm immediately putting on your screen the reference which I have selected for this discussion. After discussion in the last webinar of the Sutratma, and the three channels of Ida, Pingala, and Sushumna, together with the pineal and pituitary glands and head and ajna centers in relation to the disciple CDP, which we are discussing with this topic. We will continue with the discussion of the entering of the stream at the second initiation, which still was in front of her. Okay? She didn't take it yet. Now, we are all familiar with the expression entering of the stream. at the time of the second initiation, which marks the crisis of the control of the astral body. And I have recommended for you to read and ponder the reference in the book, Three Times White Magic, page 296, which is actually the only one of its kind, giving us some ideas about this process. And in a very symbolical and metaphorical language, which we will now read together, and you see it on your screen, where DK is saying, the aspirant, as he faces the problem of understanding and of controlling his emotional nature, of mastering the technique of development, and of reorienting it to wider experience, and of preparing it for the tests and expansions of the second major initiation, the baptism, and the final entering of the stream. Metaphorically speaking, the experience that lies ahead upon the path is covered in the following phrases. When the stream enters the river of life, its passage can be traced for a short moment and then it is lost. When the currents of the sentient life meet where the river passes around the mountain's massive foot, then one vast stream is seen which flows north. The symbology of this is apparent and can be also used to depict the flow of the two currents, Ida and Pingala, and they blending in the river of energy that mounts to the head. There is the meeting place, and there the sacrifice, enacted upon the mount of Golgotha, in brackets, the place of the skull. The symbology of this is apparent and can be also used to depict the flow of the two currents, Ida and Pingala, and they blending in the river of energy that mounts to the head. There is the meeting place and there the sacrifice, enacted upon the mount of Golgotha, the place of the skull. I think I have read it twice, no? I hope not. Okay, I will leave this major reference in front of you as we start to look at this. What I would like to say that, you know, that whenever we deal with symbols, it is only natural, and I think to be expected, that each of us will understand or translate the symbols according, you know, to our own understanding and level of consciousness. So there is, I would say no right or wrong here. It's just a different approach and different understanding. And what I am going to do is to share my own present perception and understanding of this symbological language used in this reference. And I will share the process through which I have arrived to the conclusions. I think we are dealing here with three streams or three rivers, that of Ida, Pingala, and Sushumna. And the base of the spine center is the meeting place of these three rivers, because we are told that it is the originating center for three long streams of energy which pass up and down the spinal column. Now, whenever we speak of the spinal column, we mean the etheric spinal cord, not the bony structure of the spine. Now, the Ida and Pingala represent the sympathetic or sensory system of nerves, which lies on each side of the spinal column and is called the sympathetic cord, which extend from the base of the skull to the coccyx, to the bottom. So this is in communication with the etheric spinal cord. It is said that this sympathetic cord is the apparatus of sensation and so closely related to the emotional or astral body, and contact with the third channel or Sushumna is made via the solar plexus center as one of the centers in the etheric spinal cord. Ida is said to represent the negative lunar current and Pingala the positive or solar current. And Sushumna the equilibrizing energy. So the sympathetic nerves have their main connection with the central cord Sushumna and the solar plexus. We are told that when a man finds the middle path between the pairs of opposites, he will employ upon the physical plane the forces of Sushumna. Now we have here the correspondence to the middle path represented by the equilibrizing or harmonizing channel of Sushumna, and the pair of opposites by the negative current of Ida and positive current of Pingala. This is part of the process, you know, when we try to stabilize ourselves in the middle path between the pairs of opposites, which are the primarily pairs of opposites upon the astral plane. We are dealing with the second initiation here. And this process of finding the middle path will occur through the transmission of light and truth of the soul to the physical brain. You see, we have again the soul brain emphasized here as very important alignment to bring what is up to the physical plane via the central channel of the linking sutratmic Sushumna. because we have here a correspondence to the Sutratma as it links the personality and the soul, not the monad yet, but in this case, at the time of the second initiation, it is linking the soul. That's why Sutratma is also called the soul thread. Okay? Because the Sutratma, in its turn, expresses the positive energy of spirit or monad, the negative energy of matter, and the equilibrizing energy of the soul. You see, we are following, or at least I'm trying to follow, the correspondences of these energies and linking them together. Because we have already discussed part of this process in the last webinar in relation to the Sutratma, but I am just adding to it some clarifying details which further emphasizing the importance also of the soul-brain alignment, which is again emerging here. Now, according to secret doctrine, the sympathetic cords, Anida and Pingala, start from the sacred spot above the medulla oblongata. And it is called Triveni, which is considered as one of the sacred centers. Now, there is no clear description of this sacred center, Triveni, but the name is giving us, you know, a clear idea that it is a triple, something triple coming together, triple energies. Okay? Now, those of you who are familiar with the book Serpent Fire, Serpent Power by Arthur Avalon, according to him, the Ida and Pingala reach the Ajna where they enter the Sushumna channel, forming the triple cord called Mukta Triveni, as the other name given to the Ajna center. Now we have again the word Triveni here with the Mukta. Through my present understanding, I think, from different sources of information and research I've done, it is possible that the sacred center or Triveni above the medulla oblongata and the Ajna or Mukta Triveni are the same. Because medulla, you know, is a very important area of the brain at the back of the head, where other centers or points are found, and majority of nerves pass through it. And it is related together with the Ajna to the activity of the sympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic cord, you know, represented by the Ida and Pingala currents here. Now, Mukta, according to secret doctrine glossary, means liberation from the sentient life and freedom from flesh and matter. Now, sentient life represents here the sentient or astral nature, astral body, emotional nature, related again to the sympathetic cord of Ida and Pingala. So this linking of these correspondences seem to be coming to the Ajna center as very important center in connection to meeting of these three rivers. From one perspective, we can say that Ida is related to the medulla oblongata, alta major, and carotid gland through the third aspect or third ray, and pingala to the ajna and the pituitary body through the second aspect or the second ray. Now, alta major has usually the correspondence to the third aspect and the third ray, but depending upon the stage of evolution and its relation to other centers, it could correspond also to the second aspect and the second ray, particularly as we are approaching the third initiation. But we are not going into it. I'm only mentioning this, okay? And as you know, whenever we speak of the third ray, is always the integrating ray of the lower energies. Like the third ray, you know, fuses and integrates the four lower rays of attribute, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And in this case, the alta major is integrating all the centers up the spine, the five centers in the spinal, in the etheric spinal cord. Okay? Now, according to secret doctrine, the Sushumna is spoken of as the Sushumna ray, as the most important of all the nadis, because there are many, many, many nadis, and they are grouped according to numerology. But Sushumna is considered as the highest ray of the seven rays, thus representing the first ray in relation to the life aspect. Thus, to my understanding, the two currents of Ida and Pingala blend into the river of life represented by the Sushumna, and the meeting place of the two currents with the central current of Sushumna appears to be the ajna center in the head or the skull, represented by the Mount of Golgotha. As the Ida and Pingala channel come no further into the head than the ajna center, it again indicates the meeting place of the currents, where these three streams merge and seem to continue as one stream up to the supreme head center. And I think the ajna could represent the base center in the head, particularly from the perspective of the soul as the controlling energy of the centers and of the personality at the time of the second initiation. Because you see, when we look at these three streams, which start at the base of the spine center and ending at the ajna at the other end, the ajna representing sort of base from the perspective of the energies coming, starting from there and going up again, particularly in relation to the soul in this case, but on a higher turn of the spiral, it would be the monadic energy in relation to the crown center. Okay. Now, the alta major is controlling the spinal column or the cord, the etheric triple cord in the spine. And alta major, as we know, is found at the top of the spine, where the cranium of the and the spine make approximate contact. And as I said, it synthesizes the centers in the spine, and it conditions also the flow of the energies from the spine into the head, and from the head into the spine. And thus controls the flow also of the Ida and Pingala energies from the etheric spinal cord into the skull. So, at the second initiation, the primary center conditioning, the merging of these two streams, of Ida and Pingala into the stream of the river of life, or Sushumna, appear to be the alta major and ajna. Now for CDP, the connection of alta major to the sympathetic nervous system as a conditioning energy related to the astral body and emotional nature and to the past memories and karma is particularly related to the to her past habits of the ancient thought forms of emotional nature, emotional attachments which were holding her in an unresolved prison of the past. Because as we know, alta major conditions the past life karmic relations and is very much related and controlled by Saturn as a lord of karma. Now, we would look at this in a more detail when we come to that instruction where DK is actually speaking about this to her. Now, there exists between the centers and between the spine and the head certain gaps which need to be bridged. In etheric matter, it means in etheric bodies through the linking of the etheric centers, and in consciousness through the antakarana. And these, both of these processes, you see, are related to each other. Okay? So, between the alta major at the base of the skull and the triple energy of the spinal column, there is a gap, which the aspirant who is developing a mental control needs to build in the etheric matter. And this gap reflects the gap between the triple lower man or personality and the causal body, or between the mental unit on the fourth mental subplane and the soul on the third mental subplane, the third mental subplane, which must be breached in consciousness through the antakarana. So there is a relationship between these two gaps. Okay? Now, because the causal body is still on the third mental subplane, it indicates that the first part of the antakarana must be built prior to the first initiation, which results in shifting of the causal body to the second mental subplane when the first initiation is taken. And when the four centers in the head are blended in the altar major. You see, when DK is speaking about this building of the Antakarana and saying it has to be built prior for us to take the first initiation, he is not going into details. But you see, through this process, we see that what he is actually talking about, the first part of the Antakarana linking, you know, the lower and the higher has to be in place. And this results also in the shifting of the causal body from the third to the second mental subplane. Now, after the first initiation is taken, in my estimation, at the middle point between the first and second initiation, with the entry upon the path of accepted discipleship, the gap between the triple etheric spinal cord and the altar major starts to be breached. And when the second initiation is taken, the gap is finalized, the breaching is concluded, and thus connecting the spine with the head. And this opens the door to the energies from the spine to enter the head, and due to the causal body being now on the second mental subplane, and by growing stabilization of the soul contact, there is a conscious utilization possible of the Antakarana between the lower concrete mind and the soul, and the fully working of the soul-mind alignment. So here we adding now or learning about the importance of the soul-mind alignment. At this stage of the path, and as CDP was entering the path of accepted discipleship, she was beginning to bridge this gap from the spine and the head, but also through building of the Antakarana. Now, in the reference which we have on the screen, we are told that the place that in the head, which is the place of the skull, where the two currents meet with the river of life, there is also, you see here, blending in the river of energy that mounts to the head. There is a meeting place, which we are hypothesizing, at least I am, that it is the Ajna. There is also sacrifice enacted upon the Mount of Golgotha, place of the skull, in the head. So, what kind of sacrifice we dealing here with at the same time, around the same meeting place? The Ajna is the fourth center above the diaphragm. And the fourth ray is the conditioning energy of the law of sacrifice, which through struggle brings harmony and livingness through death. And in this case, the death of emotional desire nature, representing a major stage or process of detachment, discrimination, and dispassion. Again, I am seeing sort of correspondence here between the struggle which is going on between the two channels, which are moving from right to left, circulating from the early stages between, you know, around the Sushumna, bringing harmony and livingness through the Sushumna channel. So continuously these channels are related, but you know, when you see the first sentence on your screen, when the stream enters the river of life, its passage can be traced for a short moment and then it is lost. You see? So at the early stages, as these courts of Ida and Pingala moving around with the different polarization according where we stand in consciousness, and you know, this has to go into details of the process, which, you know, I don't want to go into because I'm just presenting here the major idea of it, that, you know, we can, that its passage can be traced for a short moment. It means they are linking through our process of a highest connection. You know, when we, either through meditation or, you know, some spiritual experience, touch the highest level of which we are capable of, you see the analogy is here that these three coming together, but for a very short time, and then, you know, again they part, and that's why, you know, the stream, symbolic language here, that it is only for a short moment they coming together and then it's lost, they part, like, you know, one of the stream like Ida and Pingala, you know, shift the polarities, and as they going up around the Sushumna. Now, this represents the major lesson for CDP, because, you know, the love for her children and family was holding her prisoner, which is represented by Saturn in Pisces in her chart, which, you know, I am planning to do some astrology around it, but in the next webinar. So they are holding her prisoner in the lower worlds, and she found it difficult to recognize the fact that her love was primarily the love for the personalities, and she had to learn to love them as souls. So it was through her children she had to learn the lesson of detachment and dispassion, which would release her for the second initiation. You know, this is one aspect of her problematical issues in relation to her emotional and astral nature. Now, going along with the talking about the sacrifice, you know, the fixed cross, primarily with the Taurus-Scorpio axis, through which the fourth ray is transmitted, is involved in this process. And because we're dealing also with the sacrifice petal, it is the eighth petal of love sacrifice on the mental plane, which is related particularly to the second initiation, which need to be looked in detail, you know, because when we are actually looking at this entering of the stream, There are other astrological and ray influences, you know, involved here, which I would like to really look at and discuss in the next webinar, particularly in relation to the chart of CDP, because it is for us a very good example to check all these energies and the processes and trying to align it to the stage where she was and what we could find, okay? Because through it, we will learn. Now, at the second initiation, we know that the control of the astral body is broken, but, you know, we cannot go into the illusion here thinking that, you know, that's it. There is no more work on the astral body and our emotional desire nature. Because even after we take the second initiation, actually the most difficult process is experienced, you know, between the second and third initiation in bringing this to the finalization process, that actually we are in control of that most difficult part of our nature, which is the emotional. So, but here is a major blow to that astral control, and it is sacrificed to so that the intuition may assume control, because you see, both the body and we can say even the monad or the will are already anchored at the first initiation, but at the second initiation, the initiate begins for the first time to use the will aspect, and in a more conscious way than ever before. And so also this greater control of the astral body is sacrificed so that the intuition may assume control also. So also the buddhi, the, you know, from the buddhic plane, start to be more utilized than before. That's why, you know, second initiation is very important from a number of different perspectives. And, you know, it is the most difficult, really, for us to take because of the emotion coming together with the fire of mind. Through the baptism process. Now, as you see on the screen, where is that here? That then one vast stream is seen which flows north. Now, why north? What is the symbology lying behind that word north? North, we are told that all the gods came from the north, according to secret doctrine, which was the cradle of the physical man. And in the Puranas, every reference to the north of Meru is now the north polar region where once was a continent. The North Pole, or the country of Meru, represents the region of the universal spirit, the divine monad, and thus symbolizes the sutratma also, which relates the monad with the personality. For us, the highest aspect with the lowest. Now, Meru is considered the mountain of the gods. And the occult teaching places it in the very center of the North Pole as the first site of the first continent on our Earth, after our globe solidified from the finer matter. And geographically accepted, it is an unknown mountain north of the Himalayas. Now, in the tradition, Meru was the land of bliss. You see the symbological language again, even here. Bliss is the highest aspect related to spirit, joy to soul, and happiness to personality. It is also referred to as the Golden Mountain, the Jewel Peak, which brings, you know, the jewel in where the monad even, you know, has a focal point, and the Lotus Mountain, you know, corresponds to the egoic lotus here. So we have, you know, through this, from this perspective, looking at the North, the symbology of the North, we are learning a lot of other things here, and, you know, corresponding to a deeper energetic levels. And a confirmation, because Meru is also said to represent the etheric spinal cord, and particularly its central channel Sushumna, because that is the life aspect going to the crown, to the highest point, to the monad, in relation to what the Meru represent, the spirit. And the two currents or streams of Ida and Pingala, which go around the foot. You see, where is it? Around the mountain's massive foot. Okay. Now we have to ask ourselves, is the mountain Meru represented here? Symbol in this symbological language, around which a base of this mountain, these two rivers go first before they merge. Okay. And then they merge, you know, with the third stream, Sushumna. Then one vast stream is seen which flows north. Okay? Polaris, the North Star, is our present pole star. And according to Blavatsky, represents the Mount Meru. The two stars in the Great Bear, called the Pointers, point to the Pole Star, which is at this time a major star of direction. Now, you know, direction towards the highest point. Whatever that highest point happens to be for us individually. But in this connection, it is represented by the Meru, by the crown, by the monad, the highest we can go that. But from the perspective of the second initiation and entering of the stream, the highest point is for us the ajna and the soul. Okay? With this distinction, we need to look at that. I can see the correspondence between the polaris and the two pointers, Merak, the furthest pointer from the pole star, polaris, and Dube, the nearest pointer. And they correspond to the triple esoteric or etheric spinal cord, where polaris I see related to the Sushumna, Ida to Dube, and Merak to Pingala. All these energies, polaris, Merak, and Dube, carry a powerful first ray energies through them. And so does Sushumna channel as the central channel, the life aspect. And in esoteric astrology page 197, DK is telling us that these three, Polaris, Merak, and Dube, are important in the charts of disciples and particularly of initiates. And as astrologers, we should carefully consider them. Okay? When we're dealing with disciples. And why particularly of initiates? Because it is the initiates who are really dealing with the first aspect, the first ray, the will, the highest aspects, the monadic, the shambhalic energies. That's why he says particularly of initiates. When he says also charts of disciples, to my understanding, is that he means accepted disciples around the second initiation, when the initiate of the second degree start to use the will aspect for the first time. Now, astrologically, just a brief comment at the moment. The north is represented by the MC, the zenith, the cusp of the 10th house, which is represented by the Capricorn energy, the sign of initiation. And it is also a symbol of a mountain. It's the highest point, you know, of the chart. And when we look at the bottom of the chart or the IC, we also have through the IC MC a vertical line, the spinal column. And again, at the peak, we can place whatever is the highest aspect for us in relation to our own level of consciousness and a stage of the path. And so for us, at the beginning, it is the ajna at the top and the base of the spine at the bottom. And then, of course, it would be replaced by the monad and on a higher turn of the spiral. And these energies, you know, has to be obviously looked at astrologically, you know, individually. Like we will look at CDP chart and see what how this vertical line is represented in her chart in relation to the energies which are part of this vertical line and other aspects related to it. Okay? Now, DK was using the statement when he said to some of his disciples, when the sun moves northward as a renewed cycle of opportunity, you see, towards the light. And he was asking the disciple to utilize this higher energies it provided when the sun was moving northward to get away from the hold of the form nature of the personality. And this is actually CDP was one of these disciples when in her January instruction, when the sun was moving through Capricorn, he said, I have put this reference that I can put it on your screen. Just a moment. Here you are. This is what he said to her. This is an instruction which we will arrive at some time in the future, but it is very relevant to you know, what we are discussing here. And he said to her, now the sun is again moving northward, and there comes for you renewed opportunity and the possibility of a powerful period of release from your lower nature and from the claims which hold you so potently. This is in Dina 1, page 515. Okay? Even when he wanted to, when he was assigning, for example, new meditation to a disciple, he was telling him, you know, when the sun moves northward, I want you to utilize that energy to make this meditation, that you perform this meditation to the highest possible level you can achieve by utilizing this opportunity of that energy which is present through the time, you know, when the sun is moving through Capricorn. Now, we are told that in the esoteric symbolism, the word river frequently means discrimination. You know, we have a river which has two banks, two polarities there, yeah, and water is in the middle, symbolizing that discriminating aspects, and water symbolizing the emotional nature, which is purified through baptism by water, which must precede in time the baptism by fire or purification of the mental nature. You know, we have two baptism related to the second initiation. So this implies that these two kinds of baptism, I think, to my perception, does not necessarily happen in the same time or even in the same life. Okay? It is very individual according to our own application, discipline, and so on. How fast we move. We are told that for us, as the members of the Aryan race, it is the purification by fire which is important. Okay? Where the fire of mine has to be reckoned with, together with the water of desire. And it is this merging of the fire with water, creating the steam or the glamours of the astral plane, that the second initiation has become one for us the most difficult, or for the modern disciple to take. Okay? There is so much around, you know, this process. When one go really into details of this process, it's so much revealing of other issues surrounding the second initiation. But we are looking at it from a particular perspective at the moment. Okay, so I am only pointing some things here. Mentioning that river, symbolizing the quality of discrimination, we are told that baptism by water is symbolic of the conscience in man. And conscience is related to the discriminative sense of the mind. Now, we would not expect that, would we? But, you know, we are dealing here with water and the fire of mind at the second initiation. And, you know, when we say conscience, at the very early stages of evolution, when we look at humanity, the conscience is very seldom present in man, or at least not in everybody is present to some degree, because the presence of the soul is very little in evidence. Because to have conscience, it means to be conscious of the soul. There is some kind of soul energy present. But earlier, it is like, you know, if we want to say a whisper of the soul. But later, when in the life of the aspirant, there is an evidence of a finer sense of values, lessening of selfish desire nature, and the development of the analytical and discriminative qualities of the mind, through the growing and developing soul contact, we can hear the soul. And, you know, they saying the voice of the soul is becoming stronger and clearer. Okay? And then the aspirant is ready for the baptism by water, or the purification of the emotional nature, which is related to the second aspect, which is also the soul. And DK is telling us that one of the first qualifications of discipleship is discrimination, because it is through the use of the mind as the agent of the analytical thought that the astral body is brought under control. So you see, we have the astral and mental energies very powerfully present at around the second initiation. And also, there we have a correspondence in the integrating process of the personality through integration of the astral and mental bodies, which this second initiation to the CVP started when he's telling her that she has integrated her astral and mental bodies. She came into the incarnation with very poor integrated personality. Okay? So, particularly during the probationary discipleship, there is an emphasis upon the development of discrimination. So it emerges here that in order to take the second initiation, the discriminative faculty of the mind must be demonstrated. And you know, there is a very interesting reference to this, which is this one on your screen. Okay, where DK is telling us, in someone's life, there comes an emotional crisis in which decisive action is taken, and the disciple proves his control of his emotional nature. This may take the form of some great and vital test, covering a brief time, but calling forth every resource of wisdom and of purity that the disciple possesses. Or it may be a long and protracted emotional strain carried over many years of living. But in attaining of success, and in the achievement of clear vision and right discernment, in brackets, through right discrimination, the disciple testifies to his fitness for the second initiation. Now, this reference is in the Three Times of White Magic, page 224. Now, we see here another confirmation of how important is the right discrimination around that second initiation. But what in this reference we are learning something further, that in order to have a spiritual discernment, we need to have first developed right discrimination. Now, I think I have the chart here on the screen for you to see that discrimination is found on the fourth mental subplane, where is the mental unit, and it is the plane of the lower concrete mind. The spiritual discernment is found on the third mental subplane, one of the three higher subplanes of the mental plane, where we find the causal body. Okay? So discernment is a finer sense of discrimination, because it is under the influence of the soul, particularly in relation to the petals, knowledge petals, but also to the higher mind or abstract mind reflecting the Atma. Okay? We're going up through it. Where are we? I just wanted to bring, oh God, I don't know what I'm doing here. Anyway, what I want to say that the finer discernment or finer sense of discrimination is under the soul influence, linking also the triad through the Atma in relation to the abstract mind, the knowledge petal particularly. And obviously the other energies are also involved of the causal body according where is our own level of consciousness focused, okay? And when we say a spiritual discernment, what we are actually discerning between is the higher vibrationary levels, let's say, the differences between the, let's say, the vibration of the causal body or of the soul and the vibration of the personality, the vibration of the soul and the vibration of the master. Can we discern these vibrationary levels? And that immediately telling us that where we are in our consciousness, to what extent do we have this spiritual discernment developed? Okay? Because through it, you see, we're going to the triadal energies, actually. Now, going back to the CDP, she was told, that she possessed intensely analytical fifth ray mind, but she lacked discrimination. Okay? And her astral body, sixth ray astral body, was under a powerful influence of the sixth ray personality. And this is immediately giving us the clue as to her position upon the path. And that she did not take the second initiation. And this is just one of the clues which is telling us that second initiation was in front of her. Okay? Now, here is the reference. When he says, your mental body is on the fifth ray, and therefore, you have an intensely analytical mind. I would, however, remind you that you are analytical but not discriminating. Ponder on this distinction. And this is in Dina 1, page 520. And we will deal with this in a more detail when we come to that particular instruction, when actually DK is telling her this. Okay? Now, I have come basically to the conclusion here of what I wanted to say today. And if you have managed patiently to follow through this, and those of you who have a little bit pondered on that reference, okay, just a moment. This one here, in relation to that entering of the stream, and you would like to share some of your own understanding, your own perception, or you have any comments whatsoever or questions, please, you know, you can do, you have, I'm giving you the floor now.
They're pondering. I don't see any hands yet, and I don't
well,
see any comments.
You know, it's not an easy, it's not an easy, you know, topic. Maybe some of you have heard something
here
of this
nature.
Here we go.
Here we go. Jeff, intrepid soldier on.
Yeah. Hi.
Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Elena. Thank you. That was fabulous. Fabulous insights.
Sorry.
What I was wanting to ask was, did he give the percentages of the development of CDP's centres? Is she the one that had quite a low development?
No. It was not her.
It wasn't her.
No.
Okay.
There was one disciple who had a very low percentage of development of the Ajna, for example.
Yes. That's the one I was thinking of, and
yes,
I was wondering.
I know. Because he was the only one who has actually he given this different percentage. And as we were, I can understand why you're bringing this up, because, you know, of the importance of the Ajna. Okay? Now, we would have to obviously look at that disciple and relate his level, you know, what was happening, because this is, you see, this is all individual. You know, all these have to be aligned to the level of consciousness to the person under consideration. Okay?
Mm.
But that's a good point.
Because in this instance, you would think that she had quite a well-developed Ajna Center, but there was yet to be the coordination in terms of the discriminating faculty with the higher center.
Yes. You see, there is always other centers connected, see, to that Ajna. And they are bringing, you know, the focal points to the maybe, as you said, not we cannot estimate ourselves the percentage, but the power of that Ajna. And, you know, the next point in this second instruction, it's, you know, she started to build her garden upon the mental planes, where DK is telling her she is developing the Ajna centers through the process of visualization.
Right, yeah.
Okay, and so this that would give us another opportunity to look at that Ajna, you know?
Yes, well, you draw conclusions from that, don't you?
Yes. Mm. It is basically coming through the instruction as, you know, what he is. He's, you know, you see, what led me through these two webinars to this Sutratma and the channels and, you know, all this second initiation issue, because from two words, when he said path of life, you see, a path of life is Sutratma, upon which, you know, all our incarnations are, all our bodies, like a strings on a, you know, beads on a string. And this I have developed into other things, particularly that in the same instruction, he mentioned also her problem with her breathing exercises. And the Sutratma ends in the etheric body, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes he just point, you know, with either with sentence or a word, and he leads one to a particular level, you see. So, as you know yourself, I mean, you are also very, very interested about this. So.
Yes. The other thing that struck me about this was the when we look at the points of revelation, the first point of revelation, energy follows thought, and obviously in the eye directs the energy, which concerns the development of the Ajna Center, and then he adds, and the so-called third eye.
Yes.
So again, he's making a distinction here between these centers, the Arjuna
yes.
Center orientated to form life, and then its reorganization and coordination with the third eye, the inner eye.
Yes, definitely. Because you see, Sutratma and these three channels are related to the development of the third eye, which is not actually the Ajna, mind you, but you know it is related to the triangle of the three eyes and the inner eye of the soul. You know, the eye of Shiva and all that. It's a different, different aspect of this. Okay.
Yes.
And the first revelation is also, you said revelation, right?
Yeah, point of revelation, yeah.
Point of revelation is also also first formula and second formula, they are related to the first and second initiations, you know.
Right.
One after other, you know, following these energetic levels. Actually, there.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very
so
good
then,
point.
So then when we look at the second point of revelation, the will is an expression of the law of sacrifice.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Concerns his heart center and the advancing point of light. And here we have that referenced here. There's a meeting place, and there's
yes.
a sacrifice enacted upon the Mount of Golgotha.
That's it. That's it. Because, you see, you are bringing, very important other aspects to this. It's that I have focused only on certain, points here.
Of course, of course.
Because, it's very time-consuming process to go into, and I have tried to select those aspects of this process which directly involve CDP. Okay, to some extent.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So next time we're going to put her chart up and relate.
In the next webinar, what I am planning to do is to bring the astrology, her chart, as an example now, particularly those points which I said are related to her. Particularly, how we find these energies represented astrologically, to what extent we do find them. Because, there is never only one thing or one planet or one sign. You know, you have to basically synthesize the whole chart to see something emerging there, you see. So it would be a good, that's what I said.
Fabulous exercise. Yeah, excellent.
Yes, yes. Particularly that, we have her race given by the master, and, and we have the instructions, and then we have the chart. So, what more do we want? Only the,
the master giving the webinar.
Yeah. Yes.
Don't we have that?
Oh yeah, I've no complaints. I've no complaints with you, Eleanor. Any day, any time.
Thank you, Jeff.
We had another hand, but I'm not so sure it disappeared again. Let me hold on just a second. Sheldon, do you have a comment?
Well, I know we're nearing the end of our time, so I dropped my hand.
Well, we can go a little bit over the time.
Well, this is on a little different note, I think, but I love this passage and this phrase, the stream entering the river of life. And, what I do with these things always is look for anything that's happened in my experience that was significant enough to even relate to these words.
Yeah.
Just to say very briefly, my first year in college, I went to college, and I wanted to major in philosophy and big things to understand truth. So I was somewhat of a mental type, but already, if I put my hand anywhere near the front of my forehead, I would feel what we now, I didn't ever call it Vyajna at the time, but there was just always this tingling kind of going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened about 3 months into school, right around Thanksgiving, my whole life changed with I went to school in the East Coast, and a lot of my friends went to school in the Midwest, and several of them were coming back from Cornell College in Iowa and were hit by a truck, and the car was annihilated. They all died. And it was my first experience with death of a friend. But what happened to me was we began to get together, those of us who went back then for funerals, and then Christmas time came. We began to gather and talk about our experience. And what happened was, to put it very simply, over a series of conversations and then letters and discussions, was what for me was just like a huge opening of the heart. I mean, I always thought I was fairly, love wasn't so much important as was the mind in sports, quite frankly. But what happened was, it was this huge opening up of love. And I remember feeling, after realizing what was going on with a couple of dreams, that my whole head was filled with something. I wasn't thinking esoterically at all because I didn't even know about it. But there was something about love and life. I felt so vitally alive, and I always felt pretty energetic at the time. And that kind of carried all the way through, and I had never put it together with the Ajna Center. I just didn't, but that then became of great interest. I majored in religion to try to understand this, so there wasn't much of this kind of thinking going on. But the life aspect became absolutely vivid to me at the time. So I want to say, I could say more. And things were different in many respects from that point on. So I just want to add that to the kind of...
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, because it is good that if we can recognize this in our own life, in some kind of direct experience. That's why I said, that when this first sentence there, when the stream enters the river of life, its passage can be traced for a short moment.
Right.
And then it is lost. You see, it is at these peak experiences where I think this sushumna blend as the life energy, with the other two, where the consciousness, suddenly shift very, very quickly up, and it can be just a moment.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes. No, it was. Yeah.
And,
exactly.
And then it is gone, and it is gone. But it is. We remember it because it was a major, expansion, of the vision.
Oh, exactly, exactly. That was exactly what it was, expansion of vision, just in terms of understanding, not just mentally, but in some other ways, a huge picture of life. So anyway,
right.
I could go on, but I love this passage just for that. And that floweth north, it's just a beautiful way to talk about flowing upwards, yeah. Anyway, thank you for the... this is not easy stuff. We just finished a little webinar talking about these kind of things in white magic, and this is not simple. the technical aspects is what I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sheridan.
Well, that's all the hands I see, and I don't see anybody's typed any comments in. So.
Okay. Well, that's fine. It is not easy, to take, and one need to digest today. I appreciate, everybody's patience and, and just inspiration, to pursue this further and so on. So.
Okay, well, here we go. Hold on just one second. Please go ahead, Leah.
Thank you. I was just reflecting on Sheldon's comments about the river of life. I think you can also step into that river of life quite unexpectedly, sometimes just by even entering unexpectedly a sacred place in nature, which suddenly you're in a different flow. And yes, it can be relatively brief, but you always have that memory of it.
Yes. I think it happened to many, many of us, you know, when this sort of very brief but very special moment happen, you know, because it changes something within, you know, the within us, within the energy levels. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And thank you so much, Eleanor. This is all brilliantly illuminating. Thank you for all your work.
Thank you, Leah.
Okay. If you don't have anything else to add, then no more comments.
I have nothing more to add, and if nobody else have anything, I, you know, that's fine. And, you know, just thank you, everybody, and we will meet at the next webinar and continue.
24th of October.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, Eleanor. Good night, everybody.
Good night.